Welcome, the 23rd of December, 2013. Every week it goes by. Every week it feels like this was like less than yesterday. This feels like a few hours ago that I was doing a show. Journeys with JP on Revolution Radio, a full 100% organic, homegrown, listener-supported station. Please visit the site's support page and put some things in, you know, donate, subscribe, you know, buy a mic, a drink, or buy him a Pepsi, or buy some seeds, actually. Buy a whole pack of seeds off him. They're really cheap, and you can live for a good long time if you have seeds, if you know how to grow seeds, and you've got some soil, and, you know, most people have got that, something like that. So, yeah, get one of those. They're really good. That would be a good sort of Christmas present if you haven't bought any, like me. And bought any Christmas presents because it's, you know, the poorest Christmas ever. And there you go. And that's the way it is. So I'm staying at home for the duration. So it's really good to see you all. And yeah, it's been an interesting year. It's been like, you know, as the water goes down the funnel, it gets faster and faster and faster. And it feels like it's been spinning faster and faster. Actually, we've been talking a lot on the show, with the guests, on this show and on Ever Beyond, which is kind of my Sunday show version of this original thing. We have, so many guests who have been talking about time and how it's all speeded up and, how things are manifesting and if you want to talk about how time has flown for you this year, and also because it's flown so fast, it's given us the chance to take a slightly longer term look at things. Now we can look back and see the whole process, the whole cycle of something, the whole cycle of when something triggered you that caused you to go off in some fashion, that caused somebody else to go off in some fashion, that caused somebody else to go off in fashion in front of you in exactly the same way as you just did to the first person. So this is what we call instant karma. It's like the Newton's cradle of the universe. That's the way it works. You know, you pull back one of the balls and you let it go, and it swings away and causes another one to swing off at the other end, and then it comes back. And the universe, you know, it's a universal principle. And the way to stop it is you catch the ball. You realize the ball is coming, you know, and you catch it and you say, okay, yeah, I get that. And then you place the ball back very, very gently. So it's very, I have a privileged position in being able to just speak my mind to a whole bunch of people who kind of get it as well, because we've all been experiencing very similar things. I speak about that a lot. The journey is, you know, when you wake up to where you are today. So, trees, yes. But we have in front of us a new year, a new perspective we can take. We've seen things speeded up. We've seen things showing themselves in such, it's like watching a time-lapse film of something. Instead of you're watching the apple, you know, as it decays and becomes moldy and turns to powder eventually. You know, we can see this process happening in all the processes of our lives almost as if we're watching a time-lapse film of the series of events that lead up to, you know, whatever it might be, you know, the disappointment, the feeling, and it always ends up in the feeling. And that's where the focus of my healing work is always getting to that feeling and working back to when you first felt the feeling. And realizing that it's that moment that is speaking to you in the present. And it outpictures as a series of events that you apparently unconsciously or subconsciously do. You in some way, you make that ball swing on the Newton's cradle, and soon enough, the ball at the end, it swings away and then swings back, and then you get the ball back in your face. So, oh yeah, that reminds me of an early memory. When I was a kid, I was in playing football in a game on Millfields in my primary school, and I kicked a ball, and there was a boy who was really, really close to me, and he came, and the ball basically uppercut his face, and immediately caused his face to come out, blood everywhere, and to me that was the worst thing that could ever happen, you know, and that's why, you know, I really don't do ball games, because, you know, I saw the damage that it could do. That was an interesting thought that just bubbled up there. Anyway, there's my confession. I hurt somebody. Oh. Anyway, that's how I hurting somebody physically really is upsetting for me. It's good to be able to have this public forum to this is a bit like a confessional. Please call in. I need a priest. I need some enlightened witness. Haven't you ever felt that you need an enlightened witness to hear what you have to say? You know, you need somebody to be able to express yourself without feeling that person is going to judge you. And I think in a way that's what the original confessionals were about. And that they're very healing, because if you have somebody who doesn't judge you, who says, okay, well, that's the way it is. And in order to remedy this, all you have to do is do this, that, and the other, you know, do the Hail Mary thing, or, you know, write them a letter, or do something good for somebody, or, you know, change the karma, change the story, go back and change the story, have a different outcome, do the quantum leap thing. Yeah, I was sharing that story before. That's a pretty interesting story about being able to go back into a past life and, replay something that happened with a different, outcome. Do it differently. Take your time. Be a little more patient. Listen to the world around you. Don't indulge yourself too much. And everything turns out right. That's how we do it. That's how we fix our timelines. Essentially. There's all these different techniques. And all the techniques will do is get you to the same place. So we're getting to a point where we can see faster and faster. We see the processes that happen in our lives, the processes that happen when we saw somebody react a bit strangely to what we just said. Because we're a committee. As my guest last night, and I'm still kind of buzzing from speaking with him. It was really good. Stephen Muro. He said, you know, we're a soul, we're an eternal soul with this bunch of broken personalities. And it's the fractured personalities that we really need to heal. And to recognize the fact that they actually exist as fractured. That's the first part of the story, of recognition, of bringing them back together, recognizing that you are fractured. That we're all fractured. We've all been traumatized and we've all been broken into pieces. And these pieces are mistakes, or so we think, are as mistakes in our previous lives that had certain consequences. Certain paths were created that didn't exist before. Now you might judge them as good or bad. That's not the thing. It's about the thing. So we can go back and take the other choice and see where that takes us. See where that leads. Excuse me. Oh. So. Excuse me, this is just a friend's going home. So we have the this spiral funnel, like, you know, 2010 felt like, you know, it was a fast turn of a spiral. And then we started seeing these Mayan calendar analyses, and there we are, you know, the top of the pyramid gets smaller and smaller, but time gets smaller and smaller, and evolution happens. We all did the rounds. This video by Ian X. Lungold, who was talking about the Mayan calendar. I think it's called the Mayan calendar moves north, or something like that. Excellent YouTube. It'll be there. So I'm sure somebody will pull it up. Ian X. Lungold, Mayan calendar north. It talks about evolution represented by the Mayan calendar, the steps of a Mayan pyramid represent cycles. And each of the cycles is 1/20th of the time of the previous cycle. So I can't remember how long it is, like period of time of the, you know, say it's a billion years. So, and then it becomes, you know, 1/20th of a billion years, and so on and so on and so on, until it becomes a matter of months, and then a matter of days, and a matter of hours. And then it hits what's called the zero point. Now, that actual moment has been in dispute for the last few years. Some people thought it was 11-11, 2011. Some people say it's, you know, 2012, 2012. Some people say it's 21st, 2012. Some people say it's, you know, whatever. There's been dates. I think more and more we're beginning to recognize that it may not actually ever stop. That we become part of the acceleration. And this is what it's about. It's about the acceleration. So, again, picture a funnel, and water is going down the funnel, and because there's less room for the water to turn, and it's still got the same mass moving in the same momentum, then the speed increases. And so it swirls slowly around the outside, but much quicker on the inside, as it gets towards the point of the funnel. Evolution, according to the Mayan teachings that Ian X. Lungold claims to say, evolution happens in these cycles. Each cycle is 1/20th of the cycle before it. And evolution occurs in the same series of cycles, because each of those cycles are divided into seven ages. Periods. No, they're not. 7 days and seven nights. 7 days and six nights. 13 altogether. And the stages have a particular quality according to this cycle of 13. And it'll go through the same cycle through the long period and the shorter periods and so on and so on, as it goes further and further towards the pinnacle of the pyramid, which is, in our case, the cycles of time. Now we're in the point when, you know, the cycles of time, we may evolve through 2 billion years of evolution in an hour, or in 5 minutes. Somebody explains something to us, and then bang, a light goes on in our head, and boom, it's there forever. You've become enlightened. That's all it is. You know, seeing things from a higher perspective, instead of grinding away at your personal life, realize that, yeah, hang on a second, I'm outliving archetypal relationships. This is what it's all about, archetypes. This is the cycle of 13, is there are archetypal situations. It's connected with the Joseph Campbell idea of the hero's journey. And it's the cycle of evolution, it's the cycle of the tarot, it's the cycle of the, what's it called, Kalevala. It's the cycle of the seven rays. It's all the same thing. You know, everybody chops it different. You know, do you chop it into 7, 14, 6, 12? Everybody's got their different proportions. But still, it's the same thing. It's evolution. We're going up the spiral. I do welcome callers who may wish to discuss this year as an example of time showing us things by speeding life up. It brings things out into a greater contrast. We see things in a starker contrast. As the light is more illuminated, the shadows come out more. Oh, and there's Shadow 22. Hello, Shadow 22. How funny. So yeah, that's another thing that's been happening. More and more coincidence. Yeah, what's a coincidence? Coincidence. Coincide. Inside? Incident? Yeah. I've been trying to depersonalize the word accident. Yeah. Been thinking about the motorcycle accident that I had nearly 28 years ago. I thought today, God, it's only a month away from 28 years, and I still have scars on my body. You see, this is the weird thing, is that my cells have reproduced. You know, they say you change your cells every 7 years. You know, every cell in your body has replaced itself. And yet, I still bear a scar from the age of 24. How does that work? It's in my memory. It'd be interesting to see if I can... The funny thing is, I've forgotten it all. I had amnesia. So maybe my amnesia is part of the scarring. And if I got the memory back, maybe the scarring might go away. That would be an interesting thing. Anybody want to work with that? Interesting. 13 months in a year. 13 moons, yes. And a moon is a month, really. So you're right. 13 months. So, journeys. The journey so far has brought me to a place of being under a duvet and crying like a baby. Yeah, that's the way. That's Christmas for you. I love it. This year sucked. End of opinion. Yeah. There's a lot of end ofs. I think there have been quite a few goodbyes. And a few end ofs. And also, you know, we've been promised. We've been promised those people who've come to save us once again. Next year we'll be promised. This is the last year. This is it. You know, we're the end. This is the end of the bad people. We're getting rid of them. All the reptilians, all the bad people, all the Borg, the locusts, the insects, the greys, all the plagues. Everything bad is going to go away next year. I don't know. So, chicks dig scars. Well, let's have a look. Missy Wolf. My question for the day. The disciplines for higher consciousness demand... Right, okay. I've got an issue with demand. All right, that you prove how it is that you can be in the world and yet not of the world. The key word is how. Also define. Yeah, also demand. Yeah, but anyway, demand that I prove. I don't need to prove anything. This is a show. Let's have a proof how it is that you can be in the world and yet not of the world. So, yeah, well, also, not only how, but if actually you could take every single word of this and break that down, you know, how it is. All right, so that you can be in the world and yet not of the world. So I'm sitting in the shop, or I'm standing in the shop, because if I was sitting in the shop, it would be a weird thing unless it was a chair shop, whereupon I'd be trying out some of the goods. Meanwhile, I'm standing in the shop, and I'm looking at all the people, and I'm choosing for myself my groceries and, you know, whether I like blue milk or green milk or skimmed or full fat. And yet at the same time, my consciousness is bringing in peace and love and blessings and sending out blessings and forgiveness, in aura all around me. Or so I like to think. Do people smile more when I'm in the shop? I'm not sure. Not sure how effective my radiance is. Oh yeah, somebody did say that I gave them a hug the other day and they could feel a white spark in their heart. So I thought that was a really nice thing. Am I being sarcastic? I promise not to be sarcastic or sad. Yes. Sitting Owl. Hello, Sitting Owl. Very nice. American Indian Ceremony. Well, if you'd like to call in and talk about that, I'd be very, very happy. Because that's, you know, the theme of the evening is the evolution and being able to chart our own personal evolution. For instance, some of us came here a year or two ago, some, you know, like, well, here's my evolution in terms of the journey. How I got here? How did I get here? I got here, and I've said this story many times, and it was very, you know, it's very public, and I was in the chat room, and I listened to an internet radio station, and eventually, I was called onto the show that I've been listening to for a few months, and everybody seemed to enjoy what I was talking about, so I kept on talking, and I've kept on talking, and the thing is, when I was younger, I didn't very much have anything to say. I felt very empty, like I didn't have very much of an original personality, but I discovered that through actually saying things, that comes through more and more. And I discover the opinions that I have through expressing, just opening my mouth and seeing what comes out. And sometimes it's quite cool, and sometimes there's a few nuggets, and sometimes it's almost funny. And I thank you all for bearing with me through the parts that have not been so funny and not been so cool and not been so wise. And spiritual hierarchies. Well, yeah. So, yeah, Sitting Owl, it would be very nice for you to join us. You can call in on wolfspirit.switchboard, or if you have an old-fashioned telephone on 775-657-5973. Or there's other numbers as well. There's the Revolution Radio number, which I can never remember, and I've put in a little thing here, and I just need to find that, which is... There we go. Next week. Oh, yeah. Which is 310-421-4053. So that's area code 310-421-4053. There we go. That's how you call in from Revolution Radio. Or through the Revolution Radio. But at the same time, we're seeing evolution going down the funnel, going up the funnel, going up the pyramid, going down the funnel. Same kind of idea. It's basically an acceleration. If you put something through a horn, it will accelerate it, or it will decelerate it and expand it and amplify it. So it'll change, you know, because it's still moving volumes of air, and that's how a trumpet works. Trumpet, you know, you blow a raspberry into a trumpet, and it comes out as music. It's quite amazing, just because it's a horn. It's a horn shape. It's that shape. It's that same, it creates a spiral vortex. That's what a pyramid does. Creates a spiral vortex. It accelerates energy through time and space, through time space. Creates a compression, a fractal compression. That's what Dan Winter was talking about. It's a fractal compression. All the shows have been about this. It's the same form expressed in a tinier and tinier and tinier space with more and more energy. spinning around, getting faster and faster as it goes down the funnel or up the pyramid. Same thing. Archons create archies, hierarchy. Yeah, it's a construct. I mean, for instance, that's a very good point, sitting out. Ultimately, there are no hierarchies, and it depends on your belief. So, for instance, I could design a computer filing system. Now, most of the computer filing system, you've got your drive C, and you'll see that there is a slash, there's a root folder, and then you have subfolders. And each of the subfolders has subfolders and folders and so on and so on. And all the files can have names and the subfolders can have names and blah, 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 blah. However, that's a construction. It's not really how the data is stored, but it's a construction that enables us to look through it and create something that makes sense to us and makes it easy. Indeed, hierarchies are really easy to find things. If you are able to classify and store in a logical fashion, then it's very easy to find things. I have a archive. Oh, look, there's that word again, arc. I have an archive which is arranged by which show I do, which radio station I'm on, what year it is, and so on and so on. And that belongs to part of the hierarchy of archives that are in the Wolf Spirit Radio Archive, and so on. However, actually, on the disk that they exist on, if it is a disk at all, there is no hierarchy. It's just bit after bit after bit after bit. Nothing but bits, nothing but noughts and ones. An ocean of noughts and ones. And it's how we construct. Our reconstruction determines what we see. We could reconstruct it as a two-dimensional, or we could reconstruct it as a three-dimensional. Doesn't really matter. We can reconstruct things. You know, you could start off, what would a three-dimensional hierarchy look like? You know what it would look like? It would look like a lung or a tree. That's a three-dimensional hierarchy. So they do exist in nature. They don't look like these flat 2D archives. Maybe that's what it is, that the archive is a attempted reconstruction of the natural hierarchical shape of a tree or of a lung or of a coral or something like that. Now, he has your own website. There you go. Uh-huh. So, what's that? Wrinkles? Yeah. Ah, sorry, Macy. Well, there you go. Yes, so if you'd like to call in, you can call in on 310-421-4053 or 775-657-5973 or on Skype, Freedom Screen B, or is it two? Never know. Or on Freedom, or on wolfspiritradio.switchboard. Yes. Stable now. Now, what is it about murder? Trem, calm down. Calm down, yes. The swords. Hierarchies. Yes. Hierarchies. Hard to ring from here. Oh, you can use Skype, though. Or just give us your number, I'll call you. Yeah, call in on Skype, sitting out. Sounds interesting for you. Yes, we have time speeding up in a spiral. Actually, I have to just go over here and put a log on my fire before it goes out. Because it's quite a cold evening here in Scotland. Sleet it wasn't really falling. You couldn't say that sleet was falling because it was being blown at 60 miles an hour horizontally. It was quite an interesting storm last night. But what's funny is that, you know, people in Ontario, people in Los Angeles were all having storms all at the same time. That's weird, isn't it? So, there we go. So, what I've found is that we've been able to see our processes. I've been able to see my own processes. And what I mean by a process is that everybody's traumatized. Everybody's got stuff. You know, this is the planet of trauma. It's a planet of learning. It's a hard school, the school of hard knocks. We are born here to be traumatized. But it's the healing of the trauma. That's the clever stuff. That's what we're here to do. That's the light work that we are called here to do. What is light work? We have to catch those balls as they swing. You know, it's, oh God, that's a terrible metaphor. But, you know, it's the Newton's cradle balls that I'm talking about. I wish there was a different, anyway. So, when you have these, and this is karma, you know, we make the karma happen. We cause things, we set things in motion by things we say and things that we do that we're not thinking about. When we're unthinking, the subconscious mind has a chance to kind of knock a few skittles over, cause a few ripples in the space-time matrix, which then ripple back to us. And they give us our lessons, and those lessons leave us with a feeling at the end. People call it a disillusion. Some people call it disappointment. But it's the feeling, the disillusion, because at that point you have detached yourself from being involved personally. Now, it's the point when you can catch it. If you can really catch it at this moment and not indulge in the self-pity about it, if you can catch it before the self-pity part cuts in, you can really save yourself an awful lot of heartache. Because it's a conversation. It's a conversation we're having with ourselves. It's a part of your fragmented personality that is calling out to you, that is creating a situation so that you recognize it. And that part of that personality is something that in the past you've not allowed to have a voice, you haven't listened to, or that you didn't have the ability to listen to it. Something else was shouting louder. And you thought to yourself, I'll deal with that another day. Can't deal with it right now. And that's what builds up our subconscious. We fragment that part of our personality and we forget about it. So it's like having a child somewhere and, you know, moving on, and 20 years later, that child comes knocking on your door. You know, say, oh, hello, you're my dad. You're my, very rarely, you're my mum. But anyway, happens. I know, swinging the balls again. This, you know, you guys. I'm talking about a Newton's cradle. You know, that thing that goes... There we go. I'm back. Sorry, I got hit. Something. Yeah. It's... Welcome back. Radio disconnected. Yep. There we go. So I'm back on here. There we go. So where were we? Getting hit. Getting disconnected. No. Well, this goes into another part of the conversation, and it talks about missing time, missing memories. And I'm not talking about the UFO variety, but being in a daydream, and drifting off, and being somewhere else. Being absent. a lot of that is because at some point things were too painful for us to be there and we left. We stepped out. We vacated our bodies. Things were too overwhelming. Things were too painful. Things were too frightening. It's happened to everybody. It's part of the human condition. I was talking with a guest last night, you know. Is this a bug in the system that we're so easily broken open? Is it like a little hole in the shell that you can stick a knife into and then just twist and we crack open like a clam? Whatever it is, it seems to have happened to everybody. And it's part of the work that we have to heal that, because what we're starting to realize is that the division, divide and rule, that division is the result of God's first desire to experience itself. It cut itself in half. It shattered itself. And it's the gaps between that which is divided, the void. Many people talk about the void. It's the gap between yes and no. Infinite space. The gap in space-time. That void is where all the pain is. That void is the suffering of separation. That void is the darkness, the gray zone, the twilight zone. When things are neither one nor another. And yet the void needs to disappear. Because we're on the defragment part of the cycle. We're back on the way up. We don't need to fragment anymore. It's time to come back together. How does that happen? Well, you have to start with yourself, obviously, as always. How does it happen within oneself? How do we heal ourselves? How do we become whole, become healed, whole, wholesome? What is wholesome? We've got problems with men and women. That's the big one, isn't it? Being able to recognize that it's a problem there, that's a good one. But even then, you know, we've been given a story that we can blame each other. Oh, it's the woman's fault. Oh, it's the man's fault. Oh, it's the woman's fault. Oh, he was too obeying a hierarchy. He didn't want to live, you know, didn't want to experiment, didn't want to experience. I'm here to experience. You're here just to limit me. You know? That was an interesting sound. I wonder where that came from. And the split happens. Splits happen. Split happens. So we now have to figure out what our part in the story is and return to harmony. There's a difference between harmony and unison. When you play unison on the guitar, you have to bend one string. You have to put one string under stress to meet the sound of another. Whereas in the harmony, you don't need to make any bend. You don't need to stress. It's just everybody being there in the same place, doing their original, doing their unique, doing their expression of themselves. everybody being in time with each other, being in the world, being in time, but not necessarily in space or in pitch or in frequency. And that's what happens in a choir. You have people with different groupings of voice, people where it's more comfortable for their voice to sit, and you put them in a group with all the people with the same voice, and that becomes an instrument. There's the tenors. There's the sopranos. There's the bass. And they become an instrument. It's interesting to think. Not many people appreciate that sort of stuff. Let's have a look here. What have we got? Transhumanism and implantation. Maybe in the next hour. Maybe in the next hour, Jack. Yeah, if that's all right. Just like to, you know, essentially do a kind of mental core dump of what's going on at the moment, and the kind of thoughts that I've been having. I came up with a good one. Yeah, where was that? Yeah, the light in your heart is the you that is me, that is us, that is we. I thought that was quite nice. So, I don't know where that sound's coming from. I should be alone. There's nobody in the house with me. Maybe it's just us. So, welcome to Journeys. If we're all unisex, no, not unisex, unison. But yes, harmony is where it's at. Unison is very difficult. Unison is like when people sing at football matches and you have that kind of cacophonous sound. You ever heard two people trying to sing the same song at a party? You know, somebody's got a guitar. Two people try to sing the same song at the same time. They haven't practiced and they're not in harmony. They're trying to sing the same melody. It sounds awful. It's because everybody's, you know, not exactly in pitch, not exactly in time. That takes practice. And it's often a strain for one or other. That's attempted unison. Unison is difficult. And it's a bit like homogeneity, where everything is the same. It's a little unnatural. Who doing that in a circle? Yeah. Singing the song. So yes, when you have a bunch of people and they're trying to sing in unison, that is difficult. In harmony is a lot easier. It's a lot more natural because there are people naturally low, naturally mid, naturally high. It's where your voice sits, where it's comfortable, where they can express. And that's the same with teamwork. You know, everybody does their thing. You know, one person might be a graphic designer, one person might be a coder, one might be a marketer, one might be a sales person. None of them doing exactly what the other person's doing, but together they form an organization, they form a team. That's harmony. Unison is when you got people that are forced to do the job of another person. Something that they're not cut out to do. Now, it may be that in order to round out their personality, they have to do all things. Often when you're doing a business for the first time and you going through the process of creating it, you realize that this is one task and that's that task, and these a series of tasks that you can then assign to different people. To do those different tasks, and that's how an organization, a company might build up, a corporation, a body. Nothing bad about corporations, it's the fact that they're ruling because they're impersonal, they have no heart. Corporations have no heart. that's what humans are. We have a heart. We have this thing. This is an amazing thing. Everybody says, oh, the human heart's amazing. Well, it is. Inside there's a plasma arc somewhere. Can't see it when you're dead. Can't dissect it. Little pulse. Changes frequency. That's the cool thing. The heart can change frequency through several octaves. Like the voice can. Beats per minute is frequency. Beats per minute is pitch. Beats per minute is notes. Beats per minute is raise. All the same thing. All part of the spectrum. So the heart can change frequency. The heart can tune to another person. Two people in love, their hearts beat together. And that's a beautiful feeling, because you can feel another person's heartbeat. You can't see it exactly. But there's a magnetic pulse, that we have magnetic receptors in our bodies, and we can feel these things. It's just that we're not aware of them. It's like, you know, there are certain senses that don't get used much. I'm trying to think of one of it. My mind is completely blank. Maybe it's the sense of remembering things. Yeah, memories. Memory is a bit of a problem. Lots of people are complaining to me about losing their memory, about forgetting things. And I was reminded today of an experiment that was done with a bunch of students. Okay, so they took a whole bunch of students, there were 100 students, say. And 50 of them, well, they were all given a drink. Some of them were given a neutral drink, and some of them had vodka in it, but it always tasted the same. So, half of them were given an alcohol and half of them were not. And they were given it regularly, and they were given it when they were studying. So they got them to learn a certain subject. And then they gave them an exam, but they divided it another way. So they gave half of the people who had been under the influence of alcohol, half of them they gave a neutral drink, and half of them they gave alcohol. And then the other half who hadn't been drinking, they again divided them into two. They gave half of them alcohol and half of them not alcohol. None of them at the time knew what they were drinking. They couldn't tell whether there was alcohol in it or not. And they discovered that the people who had been drinking while studying performed better when they'd been drinking during the exam. And those who had been sober during studying performed better when they were sober during the exam. Aside from the fun value of that, it's telling us that the state of mind that you're in when you learn something is essential to regain that state of mind if you want to recall it. So that recall is about the state of mind that you're in. And that's why we have these mnemonic memory tricks. You know, you think of apple and a banana or something, and that represents, you know, what's an apple? It's, you know, it's red, and red represents one, and one represents this, and you free associate and you can remember things. And in fact, that's the way. And again, we're going back to, why do we work with hierarchies? So humans work with association. The memory works by association. You think of one thing, and then that takes you down a certain road. And down that road are, memes, memory things, wisdoms and thoughts and little vines, videos. It's a bit like YouTube. Yes. Right. What's that? Okay, I'm just looking at messages that people have been sending me. Christmas humor, thanks Dave. Right, who's leaving? Good stuff. Good conversation with loved ones is always good time. So, nobody's calling in. Oh, well, never mind. But maybe after the top of the hour, we'll have Jack in and we'll take it on to the next level, next level of the spiral. So we're here on the spiral, and we're zooming and zooming, and we're going through evolution like the clappers. We're going through evolution. We're having relationships with people that last days instead of years. We're learning the same things. The karma's coming back. A short season. Mercifully short. Sometimes it's not so good to be dragged slowly through our old karma, but it's got to be done. So the quicker it happens, the better. So that's why we're getting a lot of karma happening in our lives. From my perspective, about 3 weeks ago, everybody went through some kind of personal hell. You know, and I'm not joking, not at all like funny. Not a funny joke at all. It was hell. Whatever people's hell there was, that's what they experienced. It was a very interesting thing. And my personal hell was overwhelmedness and helplessness and stuff like that. That all's kind of come back on its, it's come back to stability. That was a wave. That was part of the great galactic wave. We had one in April as well. And again, the gap between these waves is going to get smaller. It's exponential. So, the next wave is due very soon. In the next few days. Be prepared. But this time, if you know that you're being dragged down a river, you can then start swimming with the tide. So it might be well to make a list of the things that you hate about other people. And see if they're things that people talk about you. Oh, I'm sorry, it's really cruel, but it's true. You know, the things you hate about other people are things that you do. What I was talking about before, you know, these subconscious personality fragments that do things, and they come back, and they come back as, you know, somebody might annoy you, and you might think, yeah, that person's just being an asshole. No, you've asked them to be annoying for you so that you can feel that annoyance, so you can feel what it's like when you annoy other people. Interesting. What part of me don't you like about yourself? So we're looking at ourselves, looking at our reflections, our relationships, how we have outpictured our inner world. We've projected it out into the world. We've created the world around us. We create the scenarios which happen to us that we think we're victims of. Now, I say we. We are always a we because, like, we're several personalities, all of us. We're all fragmented, remember? We're all a we. The only I is your soul. All of your personalities are a we. And yet they hate that. They don't like being a we. Because they like to think they're the only ones there. That's really complicated. Because there is a mind that thinks it's the I think it's the me. And it doesn't get it. It really doesn't get it. And that's the problem. That's one of the big problems. That the mind doesn't quite get it. Because it's a bit thick. It's not conscious. it's given to us. It's a kind of robot mind. And I suppose it's part of that exploit that I was talking before about the exploit in our brain, the bug, the feature of our brain that we can be easily cracked open and forced to step outside of our bodies and have an implanted personality or a fractured, retrained personality or personality. To Revolution Radio. And the pickle in the mouth. Now, people don't like the sound of people eating, so there we go. And there's only me talking, so you have to wait for me to finish. Meanwhile, I am going to bring in Mr. Jack, if he's ready. He may not be ready, but we'll see. Are you still there? Bless your heart. Are you there? Mm-hmm. We are in the chat room. So, we might be talking about transhumanism. There you are. Hello, Jack.
Hello.
How are you today?
I'm alright. How are you, Mr. JP?
A lot better now. It's been a very interesting journey today. Not going anywhere outside of the world, but doing things internally. I'm sure you have a pretty much of an internal life, and part of Missy Wolf's question of being in the world and not of the world, and you've been, you definitely have that quality of not of the world. So, what's your experience like?
My daily experience. Well, the kinds of things that I'm interested in, the kinds of things that I think is reality, I see it as being so far removed from what most people do around me. It makes it hard for me to feel like I can communicate with anyone. It makes it hard for me to think that I can express myself to have a what I would deem a worthwhile conversation, because a lot of it's like, oh, did you hear what the Cowboys did? It's like, I don't care about the Cowboys. They said, oh, well, don't you like this rock band? What do you listen to? I don't like modern music. I like relaxing music. I have enough, I have enough of that as is. I like to be relaxed. I want to be mellow and I want to meditate. It's like, meditate? What do you mean? Is that something satanic? I don't know.
Exactly. Yeah. Did Jesus say you could meditate?
Actually, he did, but... Yeah.
So, this is the answer to the question, is the inner world and the outer world. When you finally got to a place where they're in harmony, when in our inner world these certain things happen and in the outer world the same things happen, maybe on a slower, maybe in more like when you drop an ink into water, so slowly infusing kind of fashion. But, things happen. Being in the world, but not of the world. Seeing how the world is processing its stuff. Processing. So, you were talking about transhumanism and... I interrupted you.
To further on what you're saying, there's a lot of talk about manifestation, your thoughts bring forth into physical form the things that we see around in our physical reality. I'm disturbed to think about if everyone's focused on things that, don't get me wrong, I'm sure sports are awesome for people that enjoy watching other people that they don't personally know throw a ball around. But when everyone is focused on this instead of, like, focus on, like, you know, tilling fields and, you know, wondering about, you know, their family, about building up their society, lifting each other up, spiritual evolution, all these other things. When their main focus is on Lady Gaga and football players and, I don't know, the next horror film that's coming out about ripping people to shreds, I'm kind of disturbed to think what that may be manifesting. And the whole thing about bringing these two things together, the things that I'm focused on are so far differentiated from the things that, let's just say, mainstream media in general tries to proliferate. It seems to me that there is almost a disharmony between that and, well, what is natural. Because the things that I tend to think about are more natural. I want to have good food to eat. I want to have food that's clear of contamination. I want to drink water that's not been fluoridated and trace pharmaceuticals in it. I just want the simple creature pleasures and to have family and friends I can talk with about the kinds of things I would speak about here and everything else, but it seems like there is a great disharmony, and it seems that a lot of people that have put themselves into disharmony with just the natural flow of the way things are. In fact, sometimes when I try and discuss some of these things, like I'm discussing here, it seems like people almost take an offense reaction, almost as if I had insulted their religion or their political views or something. It's like I say, well, this substance is known to be bad. It's been bad for the last 100 years, but all of a sudden they've said it's good. And then they act like I'm some kind of bad person trying to fool them into doing something wrong, or that I'm some kind of wacky conspiracy theorist, and they just get this this offended kind of, ugh, well, yeah, you're just one of those people. And it's like, well, how is this even reality? Where are these people coming from? What's going on? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, this is the difference between in the world and of the world. So there's you, right? And this forum, this place where we're sharing here with the listeners and the future listeners and people who are also listening, and this forum is in the world, but it's not of the world. We're not in the mainstream. Certainly we're in a definite off-stream tributary, quite a gentle stream, but one that I feel will become, is a trickle that feeds into the, will eventually color the mainstream and help people filter the mainstream themselves. I think it's got to change. Not it's got to change, it is changing. It's happening now. I think that the trick is if we can catch it before it, you know, before it swings back into another cycle, that we catch it and then restore it to its to what it should be. And I suppose that's what we're doing. As, you know, instead of trying to break down the mainstream, we just create a new stream that maybe doesn't... That create a good model instead of a corrupt model. So, you were talking, or you wanted to talk about transhumanism and implementation or implantation?
Implementation.
Implementation of a, like a rollout, a plan, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
there's lots of talk about this, and all those people that are considered to be conspiracy theorists, even though, like, there's one guy who is he put some kind of a chip in his arm or his hand or something, so that when he walks into his house, the lights turn on, like his computer will turn on, the TV may turn on, so on and so forth, so that every time he'd walk to a different room in the house, something else would turn on or off or something like that.
That happens to me, but it's only due to useless equipment. Sorry. Couldn't resist it. You know, some people make machines go wrong, and some people make machines go right, don't they?
Yeah, well, that's true. But, but what you said there is key, JP, because this is what we're talking about. When you put the implant in there, what I found is that most of the implants that are used for not controlling people, they're actually amplification tools. So if you have a natural talent where you literally can switch on and off devices, you may not be conscious that you're doing it when you do it, but it makes those types of abilities more available, because we're dealing with things that aren't, they're not even paranormal. They're just, it's a science that is removed from, well, obviously the mainstream. And that's the whole thing there. You with the implementation and the transhumanism, it's about melding a bioorganic body with synthetic devices to further amplify the natural abilities of the bioenergetic body. And there'll be lots of people that say that they've come from some kind of like a, so-called super soldier or MK Ultra program, and they'll come up with a rice grain sized implant in there. And it'll be like something like a little tube with a little copper filament in it, and it's supposed to work with like RFID chips or so on and so forth. It's really not that strange. And something like that, a little capsule with a little wound coil, that will undoubtedly generate a real current inside of it, because that coil being in there, and with your pacemaker, flipping on and off, which makes your heart. I'm not talking about, electronic pacemaker. I'm talking about the natural pacemaker that makes your heart jump. So you have this current that's switching on and off in your body. If you have something like a little tube with a wound coil in there, it will absolutely generate electricity inside of it. And if it's sealed up in a little tube that's not going to be degraded by your natural biochemistry and all the other things flowing through your body, then I could see how you could put that into someone and it would stay there for an indefinite time. Especially if you could balance the ballast inside of it so that the body actually accepts it. Because they say that if you have like a splinter or something, the splinter will continue to go through your body until it's pushed out the other side. So it would actually have to react like a facsimile of like a bone or a nerve or something else. It would have to hide itself almost like a parasite to stay in the one place and not to migrate. It's kind of curious when you think about it.
Yeah. Well, it's been found in cats and dogs. People have been chipping their pets for quite a few years now. And, you ever picked up a cat? It's just a bag of skin, and then somewhere there's a little creature that's bald without the skin. You jab a chip in there, it doesn't stay. Poor little fellas, it ends up in the end of their tail, down their ankles. It's ridiculous. So, the whole chipping thing is a naughty thing. Now, it's interesting because you talk about the heart pacemaker, and this is what I'm talking about, the plasma arc. And I believe that that's part of a trans-dimensional part of us, is that plasma arc that kicks our heart every couple of milliseconds.
Mm-hmm. Well, on top of that, our body has a magnetic field around it. Some people call it an aura. And that's what makes dowsing rods work. And you walk towards certain things, especially if they're lying like another person, the rods will move in and out. Because you have two fields in opposition, and the rods just... Now, you can hold it and think of different things, and it will do different things, but it's manipulating electrostatic fields, either centered in your body or around your body, and the arms moving to that. It's not much different than a compass needle. And this electrostatic field as a result of that. And an example of this is if you have like one of those synthetic shirts, when you pull them off and you hear all that static crackling, you'll see a little, you see the light show if it's dark, a little static going. Well, that's electrostatic, because that synthetic material there, it's not metal, it's not conductive, it's a electrostatic, because it's made out of plasticizers.
Jack, you're breaking up. Jack? Jack? I got...
It had a metallic component in the crystal.
Jack?
Yeah?
Yeah, you're broken up. Let me just disconnect you and reconnect you and see if I can get you back here. You're not making much... there we go. In call, and then bring it back in. Reset the call. Well, let's see if we've reset the call. So, do you want to say that last bit again about the pacemaker?
No, okay. I was saying that the pacemaker also creates an electrostatic field around the body. The driving unit that also drives through.
No, I'm still getting lots of interference with this. Can you hang up and join the call, Jack? Can you just hang up and join the call? Try and get a different connection. Yeah, and see if that makes things better. So, let's have a go again. So, it's interesting because it's a really important point. And every time you say it, it starts getting broken up. So, let's try for the third time to talk about the little plasma arc that is the pacemaker inside the heart.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what I was saying is that when the intermittent field... There's both a positive and a negative. In the middle of this, create an arc, just like two terminals on a car battery. When you cross the two, it makes an arc. But just having a positive and a negative pole does not make an arc. You have to have both a negative and a positive. In the middle between... the resulting energy fields from this surround the organs, which then creates the meridians of the body, which is what the Chinese medical field talks about and works through acupuncture. Now, this electric field that is created around the body has been called an aura, or an auric field. This bring you a dowsing rod that you can hold, dowsing towards other things, and envisioning, because people have used dowsing rods to find missing things. By thinking about it, you know, they'll find it. If you have like another person for you, you can take your rods and walk towards them, and they'll open up or they'll close, if it's the two angle ironed ones. Or they'll have one that's just like an arc that goes forward and it will move up or down. The thing is that their electrostatic fuse makes these rods react. So it's not just, oh, well, you see it with your third eye. No, this is a real field that you...
Okay, well, you're coming in really broken up again. But you're talking about the field that is created by the plasma arc within us, moving through meridians, through the polarities of our organs. Good. Yeah.
When you breathe in, there's a negative charge, there is a positive charge that is created in your body. Filling breath, there makes an arc. And I believe this is this arc that you are speaking of. And through this, our body uses it to power, like a pilot light on an old gas stove. It keeps things running.
Mm-hmm.
It's the fire of the body. And speaking of that, on your tailbone, your tailbone is in the middle, and it is the middle of your pelvis. It's almost like a wick. So you have the energy going through your root chakras, so it pulls up there, and then that little tailbone in the middle of this giant capacitor that is your pelvis, it just kind of wicks up that electric charge, and then it goes up through your spine. And your spine is the main energy field that derives all your nervous system. That's the main power pole there. So your pacemaker then, that keeps time, almost like a quartz crystal, and like a quartz crystal clock, like a watch or the one in your computer that keeps the time. It keeps the rhythm of this power field going on and off. And you know that if you stop breathing for long enough, everything else stops too, because there's no current. It's almost like a car, how the two terminals on the battery starts up that, can't even remember what it's called, but
On the car, you have a solenoid, which is a little coil that creates a magnet that then the magnet operates a switch, and that switch is a really heavy duty switch, and that can transfer all of the current of the starter motor, which needs quite a lot of energy to turn, like hundreds of amps in a very short period of time. So it needs really thick cables to transfer all that energy. But you can't do that if you can't put that kind of energy through the key, you know. So the key needs to make a very small switch, turning a very small current that then activates this magnet that becomes a big switch, for much higher currents. That's called a solenoid or a relay. I love those things.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I'm talking to with the body.
Mm-hmm. So what's the relay of the body there?
The relay?
Yeah, what was the thing that sent me off on describing that function? What's the functional part that you were just talking about?
Oh, well, like you said, that there's a little switch that controls all this other giant energy intake. I would say that would be the breath. Because if you stop breathing, then everything else would go away. And what keeps it in time what allows it to kick on to begin with in the car is the car battery. Without that car battery, it can't kick over to begin with. But after that kicks it over, then the higher energy of the combustion starts going on, and then it switches on the rest of it, and then after that, that combustion and that engine, it can recharge its own battery thereafter that. So you actually end up coming out with more energy than you started out with first kicking it on. And that's kind of what I'm trying to just to explain with the body, is that you breathe in and out, and then you're taking a gaseous energy along with all the essences, the aromas and everything else around you, and you're taking in this almost like a fluid, like a chi, the air and the chi into your lungs, and then it compresses, and then it brings forth all the energy that it needs to keep the body functioning, so the battery is breathing in and out. What my jiu-jitsu teacher used to teach me is that a man that cannot fight. And that is so true, because all your energy throughout the day really is based a lot on your breathing practice.
Sorry, I lost that last bit. A man what?
A man that cannot breathe cannot fight.
It came through there. A man that cannot breathe cannot fight. Very, very interesting. Yeah, goes for women as well. But this was an insight earlier. Oxygen makes problems go away.
Yes, it does.
You know, actually, I drank some hydrogen peroxide earlier. That helps. Yeah, but imagine just being able to take a breathing pill where it's like breathing, but without having to do all the hard work.
You don't have all that trouble of moving your lungs.
I know. I just sigh. Isn't life? Yeah. Anyway, yeah, sighing is really good. And sometimes we need to sing out a note, and babies do it. This is what baby. I think, you know, a lot of people, you know, the baby's squealing away, you know, and it's a cry, but it's also a sound. It's a self-healing thing, I think.
Oh, yes. And that's another point is, your body, like, all right, your bones function like crystals do, and like when you're doing some of the, like the different mudras or the hand signs, when you're doing that and you resonate certain notes, you will actually feel your hands vibrating with the note. Sometimes when you're holding a crystal in your hand and like different notes will be played, when there's a synchronization of the energy form inside the crystal and the note being played, there's a harmonic resonance effect, and you'll begin feeling that crystal begin to pulsate along with that tone. It's very unique the first time you experience this. But my point being is that your body literally, because it being literally based, because your skeleton is the base for the rest of your body to form around, when it comes into a harmonic resonance, just like humming, you can feel your jaw and all your teeth, because your teeth are bones too, and you feel that vibrate. Well, when you sing certain notes or you make certain tones, you are practically feeding your body as kind of like a cosmic substance, because, you know, everything based upon vibration on this earth plane. So yeah, you are energetically feeding your body by giving yourself certain types of vibrations. And you can even trigger different things to happen in your body by putting in coherent vibrational tones, because that's part of how your body chemistry works. Because it's based upon crystalline, well, capacitors and energy information exchanges with water in the body.
Yeah, this is interesting. That, you know, you try to transfer information through bone and then through body, you got a very different response. You know, it's like if you were to vibrate a piece of ceramic, it would emanate the vibration. It would squeal. It would screech at very high frequencies. And the liquid jelly musculature and stuff like that is more akin to a jelly. And that would be very dull. You know, sound like trying to play, play some, you know, you don't have a leather doesn't resonate. It's almost insulates. So we have our vibrating bones and yet they're surrounded by an insulating layer that dulls the whole sound. That's interesting.
Yeah. Well, and that's just it insulates it. Now, people talk about semiconductors, it having a crystalline property. Crystals function by, if you press on them, it creates piezo electricity. It turns pressure into an electric current. It's not extremely high current, but it is current. So when you have this substance that can create a current, once you have to have an insulator around it to keep that energy from bleeding out in unknown proportions, you would have to have something like leather, which is skin, around these conductors to turn them into semiconductors so that you can network and direct the flows of energy where they need to be and in the quantity that they need to be to function normally. But the interesting thing about this is, because it is crystalline, they use crystalline, like usually synthetic quartz, to keep clocks in balance, because it will resonate at a very equal oscillation. So it will keep time. So really, if you were to have a semiconductor, I could think of no better substance to use than crystal.
I have actually, right here and now, I have one in my hand. I have a laboratory-grown crystal, or half of one. They come out naturally double-terminated, and they're about 9 inches long, like a long, long needle, about an inch wide, half-inch thick. Lovely thing. Crystal clear. Well, obviously, crystal clear. It's crystal. It's, you know, it's absolutely pure quartz. You can see, you know, but there's no flaws in it at all. And that's what they use to cut up. They cut this stuff up. And we use this stuff every day, you know, not only in our computers, but when we do that, you know, with our cigarette lighter.
That's right.
That is taking a tiny piece of quartz, right, really, really tiny, and there's a little spring-loaded hammer in there that hammers that quartz. And the amazing thing is that that tiny little piece of quartz can produce a spark that can jump across, well, say, 4 millimeters, 3-4 millimeters. And that's quite a lot, because it's like you need something like, what is it, 10,000 volts a centimeter or something? Maybe like that. You know, it's quite a lot of voltage. Not much current, but a lot of voltage. Just from a tiny, tiny piece of quartz and hitting it hard with a hammer. So, you take a much larger piece of quartz and squeeze it with your hand, you're going to make this thing vibrate.
Yeah, but think of this, JP. Your bones have the same type of quality that little bitty crystal that you hit with a hammer, and it makes that big spark. Your entire musculature, well, your musculature is on it. Your entire skeletal system
Yeah, yeah, I wouldn't say I had a...
electrical.
I wouldn't
so
say
how
I had
much energy do you think your body creates whenever you move your hands, whenever you clench your fists, whenever you do this, you're literally like flipping on and off a switch, creating currents.
Yeah, so, you know, if we were vibrated, we would generate energy, wouldn't we? Because our bones have the piezoelectric thing. So, I don't know if you've ever seen, you probably have, these levitating monks. They're going boundy, 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 boundy. Not really levitating, because it's like they're not kind of just hovering. But they are making impossible movement. They're like leaping several feet at a time. And it appears to be they're just like on a kind of cosmic, what's that thing? Space hopper. They look like they're sitting on a space hopper. What's going on there, Jack?
When like the kung fu artists talk about the chi field, I know you talked about this quite a bit yourself, is that when you run enough chi through an arm or a finger or whatever, it is extremely hard to disform it once it's locked into that. Like, you want to point it forward, but when you run a sufficient amount of chi through it, it is nearly impossible to bend through normal means. Like, something I used to do to my little niece is I'd point my finger at her and say, I'm going to poke you, and I'd start pushing towards her very slowly, and she would try and grab my finger with both her hands, and she'd be trying to wrestle it. I'd push it in there, and she couldn't do anything about it, and then I'd poke her on the forehead. And it used to drive her insane. But what I was doing is I was just focusing all my energy through my fingertip, and she could not bend it.
So you're pushing your chi through that.
But what I'm getting with this is when you push this chi through like any part of your musculature and your, well, we're out dealing with muscles here, you could be in an impossible position, but that chi field will rise up to such a point that it will overcome that, and then in this case, they could be, sitting on their feet into almost like a scissor way, and it's like, well, how could you possibly get enough force to do that? And then all of a sudden, they'll pop up into the air. It's because they're raising up this chi energy field until it has to release itself, and then it ignites itself like that, and then they get thrown up into the air as a result of it. Now, some people talk about real... actual levitating things, and I believe that's the same energy field, but not in the same mechanism. But not that I've levitated anything here recently, of course. But I would imagine that it's the same energy field.
Well, they talk about the Tibetans, don't they? Levitating rocks with the trumpets and things. They're basically producing pulses. They start off really slow. They'll have the monks, and it'll, again, it's like that funnel effect, and it goes, it's like, and it sounds like, eventually sounds like a train, and then that's creating enough pulses to lift the rock up onto the cliff.
I was talking about how you could be holding a crystal and you'll hear it vibrational, you'll be thinking of something. When a note is played that is in harmony with that thought or whatever you got going on in the crystal that you're transferring through it because you're compatible with the crystal. Once it is in harmony with that, you literally feel the crystal begin vibrating in your hand. My point being is if you have these things that are piezoelectric, that can be spurred by harmonic resonance sounding of the same note. I would think that something that would be like a boulder, in this case, let's say like a pyramid boulder, that stuff's out of granite. Well, granite has a microcrystalline structure. So it is crystalline. I would imagine that if you played the same note and you had enough of it around it, that it would literally induce a current through that crystalline, microcrystalline granite block. And could you somehow put it in resonance with the Earth itself so that it moves it outside of the domain of the gravitational energy field and then push it around by using the power of your mind? Well, whether that's possible or not. It makes sense to me.
Sorry again?
I said, well, it makes sense to me anyway.
Yeah, well, I mean, Dale is like, he's been building things with crystals, right? He said about the, didn't know the crystals did that. Well, yeah, that's how most of our modern world is based on crystals. And this is like, almost like an insidious invasion of the silicon entity. It's everywhere. Mm-hmm. It's what the silicon entity is the planet. That's Mother Gaia. So you can say that silicon is like a part of her consciousness that is pervasive in our bodies, and certainly it's concentrated in technologies. So all of these crystals around us have their own consciousness, and you may think, but that's just a bit of rock. Well, if you do meditation and one day you pick up that bit of rock and hold it in your hand and pretend to have a conversation with it, pretend to imagine if the rock could speak, and listen to what the rock says, what the story is. I guarantee you'll make up something. Just imagine, just pretend that you're making it up, and you have a conversation with the rock. The rock might tell you some very interesting things. Now, in the 70s, there used to be this kind of fad. It was like people had a pet rock. I remember I had one myself. I had several. I had a whole family. I used to breed them. No. But anyway, yeah, we used to have pet rocks, and it was like, it was a joke, you know, that's not a living thing. How can you call it a pet? And nowadays people are walking around, we've got crystals hanging around our necks, on their ears, you know, stuck in various orifices, as the modern won't, you know. Placed in various places, and there's also the whole implant business. So, going back to Atlantis, they had crystal implants, and they would control people. They would turn people into slaves using crystal implants, didn't they?
The implant itself, if the implant has been put into major meridian fields of the body, it is a bioenergy amplification tool, because if the bone, when you squeeze a bone, is piezoelectric, when you have a crystal and it is faceted to certain shapes, which means it will create a shape form vibration, so it will literally, it would be like turning the dial on like a radio switch. But they figured out that if they put a certain specific geometric form, it would continue to oscillate at a certain frequency. So they would take usually sacred geometrical shapes, facet crystals to them, and then implant them into various meridian fields of the body, under their skin. And these things, well, if if they were programmed to override and then instill a different command system than what normally goes through your hands or your feet or your forehead, yeah, you could possibly artificially like remote control someone, or you could highly influence the way that they thought or did things, or only take over them at certain points of time. However, people have been, and you know, even like some of the old folklores and stuff, that pretty much state that these kind of putting the implants into people to remote influence them isn't always necessary, that there's other ways of doing that, and some of the ways they don't even have to put anything in them or on them anyway. Or like a classical witch, you know, they like take a braid of your hair or something, put it in a book, and then they'll make a little voodoo man of it, and they'll stick needles and stuff in it because they don't like you very much.
Well, nowadays, they got these little German devices that they put the hair onto a little sample plate and turn a few dials and find your frequency and give you healing elixirs. So,
oh,
you know, it goes round.
Oh, this is not even hard to do. You can do that with if you have a piece of organite that's made out of a resin, like a fiberglass resin or something, if you have that piece of organite there, you could put onto hair or a picture of someone, and then put that and put your left finger on that and push that to the side of that. Then take your right thumb. You can then rotate your thumb on there. And if you focus on that while breathing in and out, eventually you'll get a stick where your thumb will actually stick to the piece of organite. When this happens, it means that it has fallen into resonance with the thought form of that person, meaning you have literally dialed in the electrostatic field which is going in and through that piece of organite, which also has crystalline pieces in it, because that's part of what makes it organite. And once it comes into that static electrical kind of a stick on there, it has fallen into the exact resonance of that person. And if you put a drop of a homeopathic remedy like peppermint or whatever on there, you would then begin infusing into that person that essence on them. And depending on whether the person is receptive to that or whether they're just very ill and their auric field is no longer existent as far as being able to repel things that are outside of it that it may or may not actually want, it will go directly to them. So, yeah, you can have like a Carl Wells Qi machine, or you could have a whatever other kind of radionics machine there. But in all honesty, you can use a piece of organite, and by getting the stick, just like I referenced, you can do the same operation. It's not as high an energy field as having a radionics device, but it does the exact same thing. It's just a different modality of creating the radionic field than doing it by a more modern devices like something that you plug into a wall. It's not necessary, because once the crystalline thing comes into resonance with your own body, your body has now empowered that, because through the resonance between that and yourself, there is an electrical charge that goes from you to that thing. So you actually literally charge that up. Now, the reason that I was discussing on how your body can be compared to like a car and a car engine and all the other electrical parts of that, the deal is you have humongous amounts of energy, of literally quasi-electric energy pumping through your body day in and day out. So to put implants into people's bodies and have them function as long as they're routed in to function with this type of energy that's in your body. And most of our technology is based upon silicates, upon quartz. It's not hard to figure out how you could put an implant into someone and your body itself could fully charge and use the required amount of electricity to use that implant, and it could do all kinds of things if it was dialed in correctly. People talk about having these psychic abilities, and if you can, some people say it's like, okay, well, if you play certain tones, it will actually create different things to happen around them, and that's part of how the psychic field works. But if you were to put these fields directly into someone's mind or through their body mechanically, maybe like relayed through a crystal implant, that they would suddenly be able to access these psychic abilities because the implant or whatever is feeding them the right sequence so that they can begin manipulating things around them, require that they have sufficient energy in their own body to do that. So what I would say too is, on top of having a crystal implant into someone to control them, let's say you wanted to have a psychic soldier, but you didn't want to go through the many years of teaching them how to do that just by meditating and keeping a solid frame of mind. Instead, you just facet a rock, program that with the appropriate program, and then put that directly in their body. And not only that, they would always have a reference. It'd be like having a little PDA or a little notebook or like a little iPhone or whatever you want to say that you can just pull up at any time, and then you say, oh, well, this is how I do it. Like, oh, here's the recipe. But it's actually plugged directly into their body. So they, I mean, talk about having something at hand. It's actually in your hand. It is always there. It is always is accessible. Take it out, they'd have to cut your arm off. Or your hand, at least. Pretty much.
Yeah. Well, you wouldn't want it to go wrong or go against you. You know, kind of safeguards? Because this is the problem. You know, that's great. I mean, that's technology. That's chasing technology. But, you know, where is the human heart in this? Where does the hyperdimensional soul of us connect in with this?
Well, like you were saying earlier, JP, you said, well, they used to have these pet rocks in the 70s. So you said, well, it's just a rock. But have you ever tried talking with the rock? Did you ever try meditating with it and listening to it honestly? Well, what you'll find out is that the crystals are entities. They are beings of a different type and form than we are. But they're still crystalline, and a lot of things that happen in our body are based upon crystalline information and energy storage. So what you come to learn is that the ones that are actually crystal, and the chips that they say, they're also a crystalline matrix. They're not as quite as a, it's a different kind of entity than just a faceted crystal. But the point being is that the crystal implants that are genuinely crystal, they're entities in themselves. And they have every one of them has a personality of their own. They are entities, and they're natural living entities that no one had to create of their own devices. They just faceted this thing. If anything, the crystals that are implemented into people, they literally live in a symbiotic relationship to the person. The crystal that's implanted into them is literally feeding on the energies that are going through your body. And also on top of that, since you're in a symbiosis with it, it can also generate more energy with you. So it'd be like two people holding hands. Like, I mean, some people say that when they kiss each other, they'll feel like a spark or an electric thing. Well, when you and the crystal are together, you are definitely more intimate than kissing each other. You're inside each other all the time.
Yeah, because... Yes, because... Sorry, Jack. Oh, have I lost you?
Have I lost everybody?
No. Jack? Have I lost you? So, yes, symbiosis of human and crystal and all sorts of stuff. Yes, organite. Organite is good stuff. Right, okay, so where's everybody? Am I still on the air? Jack, are you on the air? I'm going to call again. Okay, back on the air, and I can hear myself. That's very strange. Okay. Right, well, I'll try and ignore that. Oh, that's stopped now. Good. Okay, so we're just about coming to the end of the show, and we've lost Jack, and we've lost everybody. Thanks very much for listening. I hope some of these ramblings were of use. Some of the questions, and there's the closing music. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for participating. Thank you for being into the group consciousness that is